But first, our top story, the collapse of markets around the world as a reaction to Donald Trump's tariffs. It is an absolute bloodbath out there. Lakhs of crores have been wiped out. Let's take a look at this story before we bring in analysts from around the world.
I don't want anything to go down, but sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something. And we have such a horrible, we have been treated so badly by other countries because we had stupid leadership that allowed this to happen.
The cause followed by the devastating effect, a global market tailspin. Leaders head to the United States to discuss with Donald Trump. Tariffs, more than 50 countries have approached Trump in a bid to ease the sweeping tariffs he announced last week, according to the White House. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington for talks. Closer home, Bangladesh's advisor Mohammed Yunus has written to Trump asking for a three-month reprieve from 37% tariff increases. Yunus has even offered to act in support of Trump's tariff agenda. Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni will be meeting President Trump on the 16th of April.
Very clear that we are open for negotiations and that in parallel we are preparing a potential list for retaliation and other measures for retaliation if this is necessary. We prefer to have a negotiated solution.
European trade ministers met in Luxembourg to discuss the tariff tsunami that's hit the markets.
But it's very clear that there will be no winners in this confrontation. In fact, as you all know and have seen, only over the course of Thursday and Friday, the U.S. stock exchange lost over $5 trillion. Today's market in Asia are showing more losses.
I'm saying it is a trade war.
But there are others like ASEAN who are backing Trump tariffs, refusing to slap retaliatory tariffs.
Di mana ASEAN akan mengutamakan negosiasi. Jadi ASEAN tidak mengambil langkah retaliasi, tetapi Indonesia dan Malaysia akan mendorong yang namanya trade investment TIFA. Karena kita TIFA sendiri secara bilateral ditandatangan di tahun 96 dan banyak isunya sudah tidak relevan lagi. Sehingga kita akan mendorong berbagai kebijakan itu masuk dalam TIFA.
But Trump remains defiant even as US markets opened down for the second consecutive day, though they did make an unexpected recovery within minutes of opening, calling on Americans not to be weak or stupid. The question on everyone's mind, will Trump tariffs drive a global depression or will MAGA, Make America Great Again, magic actually work? Vishnu Shom for NDTV.
Well, it was always expected to be a tough day of trade. Global cues suggested it. We slipped below the 22K mark, but we've recovered fairly decently in that sense. 500 plus points from that day's low is how the Nifty has recovered. So that's quite a bit of turnaround. Within the Nifty, IT was the pack to watch out for. Nearly 2,000 points up from the day's low. We've closed 2.5% down for sure. But the bounce from the day's low was very, very sharp. And even if I can pull up quickly an Infosys, it'll show that it's one of the stocks which has really recovered from the day's lows. Infosys, TCS, those were two, three counters which have done very, very well within that IT pack. And the recovery from the day's low was extremely sharp on some of these counters. Also, when you're contextualizing auto, a Tata Motors was one of those which has been hurting and reeling under tariffs. Again, the recovery from the day's low was very, very sharp within Tata Motors in particular. Nifty Auto a bit, but Tata Motors in particular. From 535, we've gone and closed at 582. So a very, very sharp recovery at that, where Tata Motors is concerned. But let's talk about the Nifty 50 basket of stocks. And within that, FMCG was the one area which was okay. And you'll see HUL leading that. Nestle also down just about a third of a percent. ITC largely down just about a percent. Trent was the one hurting. Commodity stocks and Nifty Metal was the one big casualty for the day. Let's pull up the sectoral heat map as well. And within that pocket, we'll see that the big movers were Nifty Metal, Nifty Realty within the broader markets, and Nifty Auto, which is down 3.4% nearly. Nifty Bank largely in line with the Nifty 50 index. but pain points all around. Nifty FMCG down 1.1%. So that was the one outlier. Nifty IT down 2.5%. We did speak about that. The Nifty Pharma was down 2.8% as well. So that one in focus. Last off, I want to also talk about the breadth. The breadth was extremely weak as expected, but we saw a bit of recovery right towards the end. So 172 advances to 2,060 declines. It was a painful day of trade overall. Broader markets, I want to quickly zoom in on those. We saw recoveries from lows. Nifty's mid-cap and small-cap also saw sharp recoveries from those lows. 17,269, we saw 800 points of recovery there. And the Nifty small-cap as well. From 13,300, we've closed around 900 points higher. So all of those seeing a bit of recovery from the lows, but nonetheless, pain is elevated at this point, clearly. 4% lower despite that. Those are the top gainers and losers. Siemens, there's a special situation, but outside of that, plenty of them. Delivery, of course, making that acquisition.
All right, my colleague Harsh Satya there, breaking it down on the impact on the Indian markets. My colleague from NDTV Profit. Well, we've got analysts from around the world joining us on what this situation is. But first, I'd like to go across to Tanvi Ratna. She's a policy advisor looking very closely at digital currencies and emerging technologies. And she's written a bit about why Trump may be doing what he's doing and trying to figure out the impacts, short-term and long-term. Thanks, Tanvi. Great to have you on the program. How does Donald Trump plan to balance the short-term pain of higher consumer prices from tariffs with the long-term goal of reviving domestic industry, especially with midterm polls in the U.S., you know, coming up in 2026? I think you're on mute. Will you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me now?
Go for it. Yep.
Thank you for having me. And in terms of analysis that I have done on this issue, I essentially look at things from the lens of statecraft. So it's not particularly on markets or particularly on the economic side. What I'm really trying to look at is from the level of the statesman, what could be the trade-offs that he's calculating, right? So if you ask me, you're asking about the U.S. market, right?
Yeah.
How is he domestically going to? So domestically, there's a lot of things happening for us here in the U.S. So to start with, in terms of relief measures that you asked for, he is planning a major tax announcement. And that is something that also explains why he would rush the tariffs right now, because there are a few things happening. He needs a lot of money to finance those taxes. And he's also in battle with the House and Senate to get certain funding sanctioned, to get certain bills and the debt ceiling lifted. So there's a lot going on domestically for him politically, in terms of getting funding.
Sure.
But there's also a lot, I believe, geopolitically.
We'll talk about the geopolitics in a moment. Tanvi, why is Trump front-loading economic disruption with tariffs now, betting on visible benefits by 2026 when the domestic supply chains may not scale up fast enough to replace imports? If domestic supply chains and domestic industry doesn't react in the manner that Trump predicts, this could backfire massively for America in America, right?
Yes, that's a brilliant question. And I think that was my first question when I saw this play as a policy analyst. Why not first do industrial policy? Why not first get the industry in shape and then push all this demand onto the U.S. manufacturers? I think, though, what he's doing is something a little bit bigger. I think essentially he is breaking down the entire trade architecture that existed in the world, right? He is doing that without going to war, but it is a complete bloodbath in markets. And what he's doing is trying to realign a lot of things in the global order altogether. So I think that is the ultimate goal, and that's why it is so shocking and so abrupt and so sweeping in its scope.
Tanvi, how will Trump potentially mitigate the risk of global retaliation to these tariffs? Because these could, quite clearly spike inflation. It could force the Fed to raise rates. that could undermine his low-yield debt refinancing strategy. So it's sort of linked. And again, this could be a potential downside.
Yes, absolutely. You're bang on the money there as well. I think it's a little late to prevent retaliation. It has already begun. But if you see the responses coming in from countries, you can see about three classes of respondents. And this is something I'll be sharing soon. But there is retaliation from only three blocks so far. That's China, Canada, and the EU. You have a lot of countries that are actually willing to realign and find common ground with the establishment. So there's a lot of negotiators in the room as well. And then you have some of them who are quietly trying to fortify themselves. So you have Taiwan already announced domestic stimulus. Japan is also toying with this idea. So I think countries are coming around fast. You're not going to see one coordinated response. I think everybody gets that this is a new game in town and they have to play accordingly.
Tanvi, a final question, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, but is Trump potentially seeking strategic concessions from allies in Europe and, for example, India through tariffs? And how might this reshape global alliances? Because he signaled a pullback from NATO. So what are his expectations from Europe and, let's say, India?
Yeah, I think that this 100%, I believe the table has been set this way precisely for this reason, that he can negotiate a variety of concessions. I think on Europe, there's a lot of issues that were flagged earlier in the administration, whether it's the rise of center-right parties in Europe, whether it's Russia and Ukraine. I think, you know, those issues will get revealed in time. I think with India, the meeting with Prime Minister Modi was quite revealing. And I think there was a very clear discussion on tariffs actually being the real problem and tariffs actually needing to come down. But I think they will also look at a lot of cooperation in AI and other fields.
Tanvi, thank you very much for sharing, your views on an emerging story. Thanks very much indeed. We are joined now by David Morrison, a senior market analyst at Trade Nation, Sunil Sanghai, a founder and CEO at Nova One Capital, Jeffrey Dennis, an expert at emerging markets. We're also joined by Rodrigo Balboten, an associate director and looking at trade IP and digital technology governance. Thank you all very much for being with us. David Morrison, why did Donald Trump opt for a blanket tariff approach, raising the average U.S. tariff rate to over 20%, over 22%, instead of perhaps a more targeted strategy? And I ask this because apparently he's been advised by, you know, senior people like Scott Bessent and others to focus on a 20% tariff on, 19-odd countries?
Yes, indeed. It is odd because, as you say, Scott Bessent has certainly been taking a sort of a less aggressive approach in talking about tariffs. And I believe he's not the only one. But it does sound a bit like Peter Navarro has got President Trump's ear in this to a great extent, although he doesn't have an official position there. He was a big driver behind the tariffs back in Donald Trump's last term as president, and I think he is this time as well. I think it's the approach that you just go all in, all out. You have this sort of blitzkrieg move right at the beginning. It's a statement of intent. You let the market do what the market is going to do. And the other thing you don't do is you don't immediately step back. And I think this is really why the markets are responding in the way they are at the moment. This is a big bazooka that he's hit the markets with. He's quite happy to see where the chips fall out of this. I just think he could have gone one of two ways, and he could have taken a more subtle approach, which may, over the long term, be more effective. But this is the way he's gone for it, and now it's really up to the rest of the world to negotiate with him as much as possible, or take the Chinese approach and just go straight with a retaliatory tariff.
Sunil Sanghai, are we looking at a global recession? Goldman Sachs has upped their sort of prediction of a potential recession around the corner to more than 60%. What are your thoughts on this?
So, Vishnu, this is a good question. I think whenever any this kind of dislocation has happened in the market, and this will obviously a big dislocation. More recently, you saw at the time of COVID or prior to that at the financial crisis in 2008, that is always followed by in terms of lower growth. So whether that will be recession or the lower growth, there's definitely the impact of that is there on the economy. Because it does take time, though the market recovers faster, the market is actually recovering faster than in every subsequent dislocation. But the economy takes time, the recovery of the economy takes time. So there is definitely going to be an impact on the growth. Now, whether that turns into a recession, one will have to wait and watch. It also depends on the multiple factors. If you see, there are positives also from purely from the Indian point of view. We have curtailed inflation, fortunately. Interest rates are declining. The commodity prices are coming down. We have tax cut coming in from this month onward, effectively. That means the consumption will go up. So, I think India per se shouldn't get into a very difficult situation. But globally, obviously, this will mean a bit of lower growth of the economy.
Okay. Jeffrey Dennis, how does Trump's tariff formula, which among other things aims to zero out bilateral goods trade deficits, ignore, and this is an argument which has been raised by people like Ian Bremmer, ignore fundamental economic principles like comparative advantage? And what are the long-term risks of this approach for American competitiveness?
Well, that's a very, very big question. Clearly, the decisions that were taken on reciprocal tariffs, or perhaps I should say the numbers that we came out with, Trump came out with on reciprocal tariffs, have absolutely no basis in economics. I mean, the calculation is frankly ridiculous. And I think people have made that comment over the last couple of days since so-called Liberation Day. And I think with this sort of bizarre approach where, as one of your earlier speakers said, we get this bazooka in terms of tariffs generally, I think the danger is, as we've said, is it's going to impact the U.S. economy and it's going to impact the global economy generally. So I think the theory here is very, very hard to get to grips with. I mean, logically, the only argument you could make for what's going on here is that ultimately the U.S. is successful in rebuilding its manufacturing industry. Now, that sounds a little old-fashioned, frankly, but let's say that was a success from all of these tariff policies, that a lot of companies shifted jobs to the U.S. We got a big new growth of manufacturing in the U.S. That is going to take many, many years, not just because it takes time for this sort of thing to happen, mm-hmm. Companies to commit, et cetera, to building factories, whatever, but also because the uncertainty of what's going on now is just causing paralysis amongst consumers, paralysis amongst corporates. And so I think the short-term pain here is just what everyone's focusing on. The long-term gains, we just don't know if that's going to happen. It makes the whole exercise, as far as I'm concerned, complete madness.
All right. Rodrigo, again, a question linked to America. How will the U.S. economy handle the projected rise in prices? Because that could be up to 2 percentage points. There could be a potential drop in economic growth as well, especially given, you know, this talk of a recession, because there are macroeconomic models which are suggesting that a recession is inevitable. So how do you see the American economy handling, you know, A, this projected rise in prices by up to 2 percentage points?
Yeah, I'm not going to project if there is a recession or not, but for sure it's more likely a recession now than a week before. And probably that won't fade away. We will stay with a high likelihood of a recession in the upcoming months. But the overall scenario is, imagine that this panel is full of meteorologists. It's not because the weather is going great. Things are bleak. Prices will increase for sure. The economy will be slower. Whether it's a recession or not, it's more likely, but it's not inevitable at this point, but it's highly likely.
Okay. David Morrison, let's look at this now from a geopolitical standpoint. Some countries have been excluded, like Russia, from the tariff regime, while tariffs have been imposed on close allies like Israel, the Israeli Prime Minister now in the United States, Serbia, Hungary. So this isn't just about, you know, propping up America's economy and undoing what Trump feels has been unjust for a long period of time. This is linked to a fundamental geopolitical realignment, right? It's almost unthinkable that Russia has been excluded from this while a country like Israel has, or India for that matter.
Indeed. Again, it's one of the sort of bizarre aspects of this whole reciprocal tariff set up, really, that indeed some very good close trading partners have been hit. I mean, just look at Mexico and Canada. And as you say, the sort of, you would say, friends of the US, whereas others have avoided it. Now, I think President Trump's argument for why Russia isn't on the list is that, well, we don't deal with Russia. And of course, officially, no one is supposed to be dealing with Russia. But there's no doubt that sanctions are getting avoided in the same way that Venezuelan oil gets to US refineries. So, you know, there are so many inconsistencies as you know, someone was saying earlier, not in the calculation of these tariffs, the way they've been sort of formulated, and indeed the sort of scattergun approach about who is affected by them. I just want to say, though, so that the longer that these tariffs are in place, so the less, you know, if people aren't going to come to the table and start negotiating, and the markets actually see Trump giving way on various things, the longer these go in, the more embedded the whole problem becomes, the bigger the risk of a recession. So you've got slowing growth, you've also got pricing pressures as well. That puts the Fed in a bit of a bind. And all in all, it's going to be very, very bad for the markets in the future as well. So it might not be that we just have a short, sharp shock, but that we have something more protracted as far as the stock market decline is concerned.
Sunil Shanghai, how does, in your opinion, how does Trump plan to manage the inevitable retaliation from major economies? I know we're already seeing China doing that. There's a possibility of a major retaliation from the EU as well. You know, China has done, what, a 34% immediate reciprocal tariff on American goods. So that's hitting America, and it's going to keep hitting America in the immediate run. How do you think he's going to work the damage which is being caused?
Yeah. Vishnu, this is a very complex issue. This is, I'm sure there's a number of people behind the scene working on this at the White House. It involves, as you rightly mentioned, multiple countries. There are some countries who are retaliated, some countries accepted, some countries actually are negotiating. There are going to be negotiations. I'm sure there are negotiations possible. Number of leaders who are traveling and meeting President Trump. Also, the third part, which is, there are a lot of interdependencies. It's not just the bilateral one country versus US, because there are a number of, for example, let's say if there is an American company manufacturing in Vietnam and selling in India. Now, whether that is impacted or not, one is not clear. That shouldn't be impacted, right? So a number of that, those bilateral involvements are also there, multilateral involvements. So it's a very complex issue. One of the reasons why market is reacting the way it is reacting, because it is very uncertain. No one actually able to decipher the real impact of this. On the other hand, if you really look at whether it is applicable to services, so far the clarity is it's not applicable to services, only for the goods. Some of the manufacturing could be benefited, because if they are already there in the US to the extent they are selling in the US, they might be insulated. Also, one could be benefited with the inefficiency of some other geography. So there are multiple factors which are involved in that. Mm-hmm. So it's not so easy really to decipher as to how is you going to react and negotiate and find a solution to this. But ultimately, I'm sure there will be some workout and some way out, and the finally market hopefully will recover like it has recovered out of every other crisis in the last several years.
Okay. Mr. Dennis, this is what Trump has tweeted approximately 15 minutes back, and I'm quoting him. This is out on Truth Social. Yesterday, China issued retaliatory tariffs of 34% on top of their already record-setting tariffs, non-monetary tariffs, illegal subsidization of companies, and massive long-term currency manipulation, despite my warning, etc., etc. What he then goes on to say is, all of this will be immediately met with new and substantially higher tariffs over and above those initially set. Therefore, if China does not withdraw, says Trump, its 34% increase above their already long-term trading abuses by tomorrow, the 8th of April, 2025, the U.S. Will impose an additional tariff on China of 50% effective. At this rate, we are headed to a retaliatory tariff of beyond 100%. Go ahead. Your thoughts on that?
The roller coaster continues. We just don't know, do we? Does he mean 50% on top of 35, or does he mean 50% of 35, which obviously would be 17 or 18? We just simply don't know. The one, and of course, this is one reason why, having tried to rally earlier today, the U.S. market went down again. One point that I think he makes, which is very valid, and I think is something which has truly been an issue for the U.S. and indeed for other countries over the last 25 years since China joined the WTO, has been the illegal, not always illegal, but sometimes illegal, subsidization of Chinese products that are being pushed out into the global economy. That, I think, is the one part of this whole agenda that Trump actually has a genuine complaint with respect to China. I don't believe in the manipulation of the currency argument. I think that's basically fallacious. But if he's going to focus on the subsidization by China of Chinese companies by the government to keep prices down and therefore take market share away from companies in the US and Europe and elsewhere, this is a very valid point. It does not, however, in my opinion, justify the sort of tariff action that Trump is suggesting. So I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a trader anymore. Basically, this is just a very, very difficult situation. And we need, I guess, someone at some point to take the heat out of this to allow markets to settle down. But I agree with what the general theme of the panel is here, that negotiating on some of these tariffs, or maybe all of these tariffs from individual countries or including the EU, the area of the EU, is the way forward. But until we get some slowdown in all of this tit-for-tat back and forth, it does look more and more like the 1930s. And that's unfortunately a fact. And I believe the U.S. economy is almost certainly going into recession in the next 6 to 9 months.
Rodrigo, he said something else as well. He's tweeted, put out more details. He says, and I quote, "Additionally, all talks with China concerning their requested meetings with us will be terminated." Right? Boom. No more talks with China. China wants to talk. He said, no more talks. So he's clearly standing firm on all of this. An hour or 2 hours ago, there was this rumor that, you know, he might give a 90-day concession period, et cetera, et cetera. The White House went and denied that. And now he's come out all guns blazing, telling China that you requested meetings with us. Those are over. So where are we headed?
First, I agree with Jeffrey. It's not only subsidized. China overproduces. They also have forced technology transfer for companies that invest in China, IP theft and IP violation. So it's not only the subsidized industry. So that doesn't mean declaring a trade war with the rest of the world, of course. And that doesn't mean that only setting blanket tariff is the right tool. So where are we heading? It's hard to predict. But again, this is not a happy scenario. Where are we heading if there's going to be retaliation through increasing an escalatory tariff? Negotiations should be trying to lower the tariff, but also something that has been out of the conversation now is that every country have their own political economy process. So there is a perfect scenario where tariff goes down to zero, some non-trade barriers are lower, etc. But also, from the point of view of third countries, their constituents will be start demanding for retaliation because they feel that they were hit by tariffs. So There is a contradiction between where things should be headed and where are the incentives right now and the incentive seems like that are going through an escalatory cycle of tariff plus tariff plus tariff.
All right, look, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.